Bullock's in downtown Los Angeles, one of America's great stores, dedicates tonight's broadcast to that epical date in American history which occurs tomorrow, July 4th, 1945, in
the Universe on Parade.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold it a minute, will you? What is it?
Why, it's the Bullock Show, dedicated to the 4th of July.
Oh, with a lot of fanfare and flag waving, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And big noisy music and rolling drums?
That's right.
And especially the kind of America the boys carrying the torch for liberty want to come back to.
Well, that's the idea Bullock hopes to put over.
What does Bullock know about that?
Hmm?
Has Bullock ever sat in a foxhole and thought it over?
Well, you see, the writer of the program...
Has the writer ever sat in a foxhole and thought it over?
No.
Have any of these actors or musicians?
I don't think so.
Have you, Miss McGee?
No, I haven't.
Well, I have. And I know hundreds of other guys out there who have and still do. And I think you'd be curious to know where you get your information.
Our information?
Yeah. How do you know exactly what kind of America we want to come back to?
Well, we'd like to imagine.
I'll say. For example, how do you know what democracy or America means to an average soldier? Me.
Well, I don't.
Mr. McGee. You and your writer and these actors and musicians and Bullocks were about to spend a half hour telling us in the world exactly that, weren't you? What's your orchestra leader's name?
Lord Sweeten.
Hey, Mr. Sweeten.
Yeah?
Would you mind going through that blast of what I suspect was intended to represent July 4th and democracy from 1776 until now?
You mean our opening?
Yeah, all that music and bells ringing and voices that I interrupted when I came in.
Okay, boys, from the top.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Look, Mr. McGee, and I'll admit that that's all very important, but that's not what a guy thinks about when he's sitting in a foxhole.
Well, listen, soldier, with all due respect to you, this is a radio program, and, well, we're just trying to do our best here.
I know that, Mac. And the best is none too good when most radio programs begin telling the American soldier or sailor or marine or even the American civilian what democracy in America means to him.
Well, okay. We pride ourselves on being democratic. We're open to suggestions, my pal, and there's no dictatorship on this program.
Well, that's the most encouraging thing I've heard so far. Now, for example, I'll make you a bet.
Well, anything but a package of cigarettes. That's where you fellas have it on us.
For example, I bet you the first thing you were going to do after that opening fanfare was something historic, huh?
You win.
What was it?
Well, we had music like this, and then a voice.
Apt to believe it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance from this time forevermore.
Okay, so who said that?
It was supposed to be a part of a letter that President John Adams wrote to his wife immediately after signing the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah? That's a funny thing. I never heard that before, and I know it's important, but it doesn't make America or democracy or the 4th of July a bit more impressive to me.
Doesn't it?
No. Does it to you?
Not a bit.
Make another bet.
All right, I'll bite.
I'll bet you 99 and 9 tenths of this program you have for tonight is just like that. Big speeches by people like Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln. Oh, and you know something else?
Go ahead.
I'll bet you a package of cigarettes that the guy who wrote them into your script couldn't recite a line of any of them from memory. I bet he had to dig them out of books.
Well, he's in the booth there. He produces the show, too. How about it, Cal?
See what I told you? He's nodding his head.
Now, I'll make you a bet, soldier.
All right, what is it?
I'll bet you a lunch at the Derby tomorrow that, you think you can put on a better show about the meaning of democracy and America to the average soldier or civilian than the one we had scheduled for tonight.
Brother, I'll take that. Will your actors and musicians work with me?
Well, I'll ask them. How about it, people? Herb, Jack,
okay. To start with, I want some nice music, see? Yeah. Nothing fancy. Real American music. Let's see. All right, Red River Valley.
Fine.
You can get that on any jukebox from Maine to San Jose, and it gets more nickels than Beethoven ever heard of.
Who's going to announce for you?
I am. I've got a lousy voice, and so have most Americans. So that's what you guys call being realistic. Now, Mr. Sweeten, start the music, will you? Well, here I go. Hello, Mrs. Jones. Are you hearing me on your radio? Did you know you don't have to listen to this? That's strictly American, Mrs. Jones. That's why there's a dial on your radio. You can spin it any time you want and crank this program out. In fact, you may not like what I'm going to dish out from now on, so unless you can take it, spin the dial. You'll find some pretty interesting stuff on Blue or Columbia or any of the local stations.
Soldier, just a minute, please.
Yeah?
Once a long time ago on this program, we said almost that same thing, and next day we got a letter.
What did it say?
It said, I took your advice, and you were right. There were some interesting programs on the opposite network. From now on, I'll tune them in regularly every Tuesday.
Great. Anything un-American about that?
There you have me.
Now you can change your music to something different, Mr. Sweeten.
Yes, but what?
Well, like what you play when somebody's setting a scene. I'm going to set a scene.
What kind of a scene, soldier?
This is a scene on Okinawa, where I came from. And it's about a little Italian kid named Anthony Torrielli. I knew him well because he came from my hometown, where his dad's a barber. Those sound effects are good. Although they don't sound exactly like the real thing, but they'll do. And the scene is when I call out to Tony, who's been kind of crying and shouting a lot of crazy noise for nearly an hour. When I get there, I find he's been hit in the middle by a hunk of fragment big as a cantaloupe. And now most of his interior decorations are exterior, you see. Okay, Tony. Okay, now, kid. This is Mike Parsons. Here. Now take a drink.
Oh, Mike.
Hi, kid.
I'm gonna die.
Yeah, I guess you are, Tony. No use kidding, huh? You wanna give me any message, Tony?
Just tell my mom and pop I love them.
Funny. Here's a kid that loved America as much as you or I. But when he was dying, he didn't have the time or the inclination to make any great speeches about it. Of course, I know that isn't the way it's supposed to go on a radio program, but it's the way it goes on the battlefield. And now I want to set another scene. It's at the barbershop owned by Tony's father. Let me have some more music.
Come on in, Mr. Burns. Over to this chair. You're next.
Oh, fine, Giuseppe. If you can't stand a shave.
All right, sit right down, please. There you are.
Say, Giuseppe, I'm sure sorry to hear about your boy, Tony.
I'm a thank you, Mr. Burns.
Everybody in town feels the same way about it. Most of us knew Tony pretty well.
Well, Tony, he was a good boy. Sometime he'd fight, the lazy, sometime no like a work. But that's no matter. Most of the kids are like that. We're going to miss him. Mom and me. We love him a lot. You say shame, Mr. Burns?
Now, you know what's wrong with that scene, Mr. McGinn?
No, what's wrong with it?
Well, Tony's father's an Italian who took out his citizenship papers in this country over 20 years ago. Look at the chance he missed in that scene.
Chance?
Yeah, sure. He could have struck a pose and gone into a great speech about how he really felt. How no sacrifice is too big to make for America, the country of his adoption, and how he's sorry he has only one son to give for democracy.
Well, soldier, I thought what he said was all right as it was.
So did I, pal. He said almost the same thing that millions of other fathers in this country would say. Whether they're Poles or Greeks or Danes or Dutchmen or Swedes or Jews, and not a one of them would launch into a recitation.
I agree with you.
You talk about what democracy means to the average American soldier. Let me tell you some of the things it means to me. And to most of the others, I think. There's a kid just hit a line drive down the pathway to the gas house fence. It's a sandlot baseball game in the so-called Lower East Side of New York, you see. And I want to show you the League of Nations, or a small edition of democracy as it works in this country. The kid that hit the ball's a colored boy. The pitcher's a Russian Jew named Ignaz. There's an Irish kid playing shortstop and a Chinese kid on first base. The catcher is a lad whose parents came from Mexico. And in the outfield, you'll find every nationality from French to Norwegian. And how many of them do you suppose are stopping to congratulate himself on being a great, noble American at this point?
I couldn't say.
Not a one of them. They're too busy playing the game to waste time bragging about their God-given heritage of democracy. But they are American. You get it?
Sure.
And they're what makes this country tick. A melting pot of every nationality in the book. Rubbing elbows and using slang and cussing, too, but all speaking the same common language when it comes to knowing they belong here. Take a walk with me, pal, and I'll show you what democracy in America means to me, and I bet the average American. Come on, take a walk with me. Let's go in here. We'll sit up at the counter, huh?
Oh, hello, Mike. What do you have?
Strawberry soda, pal. And plenty of strawberries.
Sure, coming up.
Now, look down the counter. There's Terry O'Reilly, kid I went to school with. We were nuts about the same girl. Had a couple of scraps over, but we're friends now. Oh, and there's that Russian kid, Dmitry Rokovich. Everybody thought he was a screwball because he liked to practice the violin. But he got in a high school orchestra, and now they tell me he's developed into a big musical star. Oh, and there's Hilda Christensen, the blonde Swede girl. You know, her folks can hardly speak a word of English. But she won a scholarship in chemical research, and now she's on her way to being one of the country's noted women.
And here's your straw soda, Mike.
Ah, brother. Look at that. Hey, talk about America. This was America to me plenty of times when I was hugging the hot, sandy ground on Okinawa. Cool soda at the corner drugstore. I dreamed how I'd put this straw in my mouth and drinking. There'd be no end of it. Come on, pal. Let's do some more walk.
All right.
Take a deep breath of that air, pal.
Smells good.
Smells of America. Smells of fresh-cut lawns and flowers and trees. Smells of a bakery halfway down the block and a hamburger stand over there on the corner. Smells of American cigarette smoke and flowers and home gardens and gasoline. It smells like America.
Yes, I get what you mean.
Do you? Wait a minute, let's stop here.
What's this?
It's a lumber yard. Look at the planks and the 2x4s and shingles and timbers. New wood. smells pretty good, too, doesn't it?
You bet.
It's a whole cross-section of democracy in this lumberyard, pal.
How do you mean, soldier?
Well, where do you think all this wood came from? Who cut the trees and sawed the planks and loaded the lumber on flat cars? Just listen, pal.
I'm an Oregon pine. I was cut down by a sweet lumberjack who lives in Klamath Falls.
I'm a California redwood. I was sawed up by a Dutchman and a Canadian pulling together on a big crosscut saw.
I'm a slab of hard rock maple. I was chopped down by a Slovakian axeman in the state of Vermont.
I'm a length of Washington fir. Norwegian mill hand ran me through the saw.
I'm a slab of hickory. A Negro worker cut me down in Tennessee.
I'm a length of black walnut. A half-breed Indian took me out of the forests of Massachusetts.
See what I mean, pal? Even a lumber yard's a good cross-section of democracy in this land. Now, come on, let's walk a little further. Here's the main street of our town. Now, what do you see here?
It's a little Mexican restaurant.
That's right. Look inside. See any Mexicans?
Only the waitress and the cook. Customers are all Americans.
What do you mean, Americans? So are the waitress and the cook. And the sign on the window says tamales, frijoles, chili rellenos, and enchiladas, but here it's just as American as corned beef and cabbage. And that's Irish. Come on a little further. What do you see now?
Chinese restaurant.
Okay. Who's inside?
Very few Chinese.
That's right. Americans again. And that Chinese waiter's an honest student at college. The sign on the window says chop suey, chow mein. And the customers inside try to eat with chopsticks. And anybody, no matter what nationality, is welcome. Come on, let's move on down the street. Here's another place.
Oh, yes. Another restaurant. Bit of Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. It says smorgasbord on the window. And inside you'll find Scandinavian food and Scandinavian waitresses and cooks and... The customers will be like the ones at those other places. 101 nationalities lumped under the common heading, American.
Soldier, is this what democracy means to you fellows?
This is only part of it. Come on, here's the park. We'll walk through here.
All right.
Now, see that girl and the sailor, soldier right over there on the bench?
Yes.
Well, I'm the soldier. That's my girl.
I thought you said you were going to write to me every week.
Oh, well, gee, honey, a guy hasn't much time to write when he's slugging it out with the jobs.
I bet you wrote to a dozen other girls while you was away.
Nope. Just you, baby. Ah, sure missed you, honey.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet you tell that to all the girls.
Hey, I thought you were going to be glad to see me when I got back.
I am, my honest, I am. I missed you something awful.
Well?
Well, what, soldier?
Well, you didn't hear any flowery speeches like you'd expect from Romeo and Juliet, or... In the movies, did you?
Of course not.
Just the same, that's the way thousands and thousands of guys talk to thousands and thousands of girls when they come back from wherever they've been. And that's the way I imagined it while I was over there. Now, I want you to see something else in this park. Come on.
And furthermore, we're all victims of the machine. Do you hear it? We're Americans. But we're tools in the hands of the capitalist. Unless we overthrow the shackles of capitalistic exploitation, we are headed towards economic and personal slavery. Now, don't think because a few guys...
How do you like that guy, Mr. McGinn?
Just another soapbox orator. You can find them in most any public park. Fine right they have to holler.
You said something there. They have a fine right.
What do you mean?
That fine right's the same thing you were trying to put over with historic speeches and stuff at the start of this program.
Oh, I think I do know what you mean.
I mean, that soapboxer has a perfect right to get up in public and holler about anything he wants. And if I don't agree with him, I can get a soapbox and put it right next to his and beat the drum for my own slant. That's democracy, pal. Now, come on again. We got to make some pretty big jumps now. You recognize this place?
Why, of course. It's a church.
We're going inside.
Are you a member of this church?
Nope. Are you?
No. But if you're not, then why...
Come on in. I want to make something clear.
All right.
Sit down.
Beautiful music, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oremus, passionis tu memoriam reliquisque.
You know what he's saying?
He's speaking in Latin. It's part of the service, of course, but I don't understand it.
Neither do I. Let's just sit here, though, till the singing's over. Come on. We'll go now.
But we just got here.
I know, but come on. Surprised, Mr. McGee?
Why, this is another church.
Yeah, that's right. Open the door.
When you are tempted, do you back away and look at the Lord and say, no, no, I'll take the path of sweet righteousness. I'll forswear sin. How many times, I ask you? And yet you'll come here to this church and expect to be cleansed of your transgressions one day a week, when you should be working with the Lord 7 days a week. Now we'll sing, join in the Lord's chorus. Come on, sit back here in the last row. Let's see them. That's it. Come on, let's sing now.
Is this your church, soldier?
Nope. Isn't yours either, is it?
No. And why did you come here?
I thought you'd catch on already. Come on, we got another stop to make.
Say, what is this, a gag or something?
No, why?
Well, this is the third church so far. This is a Negro church.
Anything wrong with that?
Oh, of course not, but why...
Come on inside. Open the door.
Very well.
And the good Lord, he done say, ye who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God, and walking henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling.
Go now.
All right.
Let's sit down on the step. Huh?
All right.
Well, get the idea?
I think so.
I can go to any church in this land anytime I want, just by walking in and sitting down and listening to the sermon.
That's right.
I can worship any way I want. Any religion. So can any other American.
That's democracy.
Tomorrow's the 4th of July, Mr. McGee.
Yeah.
Between now and then, quite a few guys, soldiers like myself, or sailors, or marines, or flyers, will die for this country.
Yes.
They won't be dying for great historic speeches made by Washington or Jefferson or Adams or Lincoln, although those things have their place and we respect them. Or great radio programs that play big patriotic music.
I see your point.
They'll be dying for the little Italian guy in the barbershop. And the kids in the corner drugstore soda fountain. They'll die for the common, ordinary sounds and sights and smells of America. For the sweetheart they'll never meet in the park now. For the lumber yard and the house it might have built for him in the future. For the lights of Main Street and the sandlot baseball games. For the hamburger stand and the soapbox art. They'll die for the priest and the congregation in the big church and the minister who shouts in the little one and the colored people in their church. Not just for the big, magnificent episodes out of history, but for the little, familiar American things that were part of their lives once and would be again if they lived. It's what they think about, Mr. McGee. It's what they think about in the foxholes and on the battle wagons and in the plains. And if you take a careful look at America, it's what really is democracy. It's what I'm going to think about tomorrow. It's what the 4th of July means to me.
The 4th of July. What does it mean? Independence Day, the spirit of 76, of Bunker Hill, the terrible winter at Valley Forge. Yes, the 4th of July means all of those things, but Bullocks would like to point out that it means something else, too. It's what you and I, the people of Los Angeles, did yesterday. It's what we will do tomorrow and the next day. The 4th of July is a hallowed day established by our forefathers and kept alive through the years, not by fireworks or skyrockets, but by love of country, by deeds done by men and women. Tomorrow's 4th of July is like a call to arms. For us, it means a day in which to count our blessings, one by one, from the signing of the Declaration of Independence to the winning of the European War. Bullock sincerely urges that every American make a further resolve to continue being an American. To buy more war bonds, the close of the 7th War Loan Drive, you know, did not end the Japanese War. Buying bonds is still our job, our debt to the 169 4th of July's in our history. Tomorrow should mean making a check of our calendar to see when our next appointment is due at the blood bank. It should mean taking the time to plant that victory garden and the determination to spend that vacation at home and save gas for the bombing of Tokyo. Bullocks in downtown Los Angeles hopes that their many friends and customers will have the best 4th of July possible. And may we all look forward to a speedy return of those old-fashioned 4th of Julys we remember so well. Music for tonight's program was under the direction of Claude Sweeten. The program is written and produced for Bullocks by Carol Coleman. Until next Tuesday at the same time, this is Ted Myers saying good night for Bullocks.